Week 6, A Life of Surrender. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. The word surrender brings to mind many pictures. Perhaps a white flag waving atop a surrounded military fort, or a troop of outnumbered soldiers with their hands raised. We typically associate surrender with defeat. However, when it comes to life with Christ, the act of giving up control to Him is actually the beginning of our freedom. A life of surrender requires trust, and that trust is developed in the context of relationship. Would you allow a stranger to care for your children or watch over your home while you were on vacation? Of course not. Trust is earned. So until you have an understanding of a person's character, it isn't possible to trust him or her with something of value. In order to surrender our lives to God, we must believe that He is good and is worthy of our trust. For many of us, that is easier said than done, and it is often due to doubt or disappointment from past experiences with people or churches. Our hearts can become weary and hardened by such things, but there is hope. We can begin to trust Jesus when we understand what He did for us. He left heaven and came to earth. He felt hunger, hurt, and rejection. He was beaten and crucified, and 3 days later rose from the grave. Also, He could prove His love, earn our trust, and be in relationship with us. You are good and do only good. Teach me your decrees. Psalm 119:68. If you want to get to know God better, you will need to do what you would do when getting to know a friend. Spend time with Him. This doesn't have to look a certain way. The key is to invite Him into your life. The Lord will reveal Himself to you as you do things that feed your spirit, like studying the Word, seeking Him in prayer, and building relationships with like-minded friends. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. James 4:8. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. Sometimes God's way of doing things doesn't make sense to us. His way of thinking is much different and much greater than ours. Though we don't always understand, when we make the choice to trust and obey Him, we set ourselves up for success. Picture this. You are going to take a road trip to see the Grand Canyon, and you plan to drive your car, but you don't have a smartphone, map, or a compass for the trip. Your best friend not only has all these items, but also knows every pothole, gas station, and restaurant along the way. Wouldn't you want him to come along? What if he has a single condition for joining you, to be in the driver's seat? There's the dilemma. It's hard to hand over the steering wheel because it involves giving up control. However, as a believer, the only way you can live the abundant life that God has for you is to fully surrender your life to Him and adopt His way of doing things. Ask yourself, what areas of my life have I not surrendered to God? Am I having a hard time trusting Him with those areas? An epic journey. God wants to make our lives smoother by being Lord over everything. It is only when He is in complete control that we can walk in spiritual order. Anything we decide to hold on to becomes our responsibility to maintain. However, if we surrender every area of our lives to Him, He will partner with us on this journey and bring us safely to our final destination. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Luke 14:33. Man was created to be a worshiper, and we will worship what we value most. In Exodus 20:3-4, God told the Israelites not to place any gods before Him or make any kind of idol. We may think of an idol as a carved statue, but an idol is also anything we desire more than God. If we want to walk in spiritual order, God must be first. Materialism is a common culprit of misplaced priorities in our lives. When material things become more important to us, we find ourselves consumed by pressure and stress as we strive to gain more. Materialism gives the enemy an opening to attack our minds and emotions with incessant thoughts about what we have and what we want. The more we have, the more it demands our attention. As I read the following verses, what happens when we give things and money the place of priority in our lives? The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Matthew 13:22. You say, "I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing." And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6:9-10. Ask yourself, is there anything in my life that is more important than God? As I read the following verses, ask the Holy Spirit to show you how these passages apply to your life. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. Psalm 62:10. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, "I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." Hebrews 13:5. Then, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than any bird. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Luke 12:22-31. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Matthew 6:33. Relationship problems. Did you know that relationships can come between you and God? It can be relationships with family, friends, coworkers, pastors, church members, neighbors, and even enemies. But whether good or bad, they can become more important to us than our relationship with the Lord. Pay attention as I read the following passage. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. "Abraham," God called. "Yes," he replied, "here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you." The next morning Abraham got up. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son, Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told his servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." To this day, people still use that name as a proverb, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says, "Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and throughout your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." Genesis 22:1-18. In this passage, Abraham faces an inconceivable situation. He has waited decades for a big promise to be fulfilled, the promise that he would be the father of nations. In Abraham's old age, God blesses him with a son, Isaac. The child grows, and so does Abraham's joy. And then, one day, God tells Abraham to sacrifice the boy on an altar. Surely Abraham had questions. He loved his son very much, but he also trusted God. The Bible tells us Abraham rose early the next day to obey God's command. In other words, he did not try to delay or find a way out. There was no hesitation in his conduct. In a great act of faith, he placed Isaac on an altar and would have followed through with the command if an angel had not stopped him. God saw Abraham's willingness to obey, provided an alternate sacrifice, and blessed him with a family heritage unlike any other. His descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the shores. We often insist on having our own way in relationships, not realizing that our attempts to control them may be detrimental. Not only are our relationships unlikely to flourish when we try to control them, they can take our focus off of God and take inappropriate priority in our lives. As was true for Abraham, God's blessing can flow into our relationships if we readily surrender them to Him. Ask yourself, do I have a relationship that has come between God and me? Another principle that will allow us to have healthy relationships is staying free of offense. Our most difficult relationships to surrender may be the ones in which there is offense or unforgiveness. Consider this. What if you gave up your right to be right and instead chose to be unoffended no matter the situation? 6 ways to stay unoffended. Number 1. Take the lowest seat. Consider everyone more important than yourself. Put the needs of others before your own. Strive to please God, not yourself or others. Be a servant and look to honor others rather than yourself. Number 2. Always remain grateful. Gratitude changes our attitude by keeping us aware of God's provision and blessings. Number 3. Give others their freedom. Don't try to control others. People need the freedom to make their own decisions. Sometimes they make good ones, sometimes they make bad ones. Either way, it is their decision. Number 4. Make decisions that promote life in others. When someone offends you, it may seem natural to ignore that person or pay back wrong. But Jesus says, there is a better way. Maintain a positive attitude toward them. Choose to speak words of life over them and do things that build them up. How they respond is up to them. Step 5. Trust God to bring justice when an offense comes. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Think about what it would be like to pay for your own sin rather than Jesus taking care of it. None of us would want what we really deserve. We'd rather have grace. Number 6. Dedicate time to the Lord. Refresh your spirit in prayer, Bible study, and fellowship with Jesus. God's presence brings change. I surrender all. There are many areas of our lives that we need to surrender to God. These include plans, goals, pleasures, ambitions, hurts, the future, the past, selfishness, ego, sin, pride, physical appearance, lust, anger, fear, and health. We must also surrender unforgiveness, because holding on to an offense is essentially saying that we have a right to withhold grace from someone. This type of pride is an idol that will cause a wedge between God and us. Surrendering does not mean we no longer have goals or ambitions. On the contrary, God is the one who put desires in our hearts. When we surrender everything to Him, we will find that His path to the fulfillment of those desires is better than we could have imagined on our own. We simply have to submit to God's will and join with Him in His plans for us. Ask yourself, have I surrendered my past, present, and future to God? Do I trust that His way is better than my own?